The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
And by All-Star Vacation Homes, who are offering a last-minute Orlando vacation special. The special runs from September 22nd to December 19th, and you would get a fifth night free when you stay for four nights. That's right. To take advantage of this special, call 1-866-385-5384. And for more information, you can visit them at allstarvacationhomes.com.
I'm Nicole DeBoom. I'm with Skirt Sports in Boulder, Colorado, and I love the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 215 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from WDW Today and TouringPlans.com, and with me is my co-host, Michelle Scribner-McLean. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Mike. Thank you for joining me in a goofy day one of goofy training run today.
Oh, yeah. You're welcome.
It was a gorgeous
fall day. We're done, right?
I don't know. I'm not done.
Oh,
I
this
need to
you
do
said
like
day one.
12 or 14 miles
So
tomorrow.
It's actually day 1A, right?
Yeah, day
tomorrow
1A.
Tomorrow is day 1B.
Are you going to be joining me again?
I'm going to give it a shot.
Okay. So, yeah, it was fun. Beautiful fall day. It was about 50 degrees. And, yeah, I thought it was good.
Yeah.
We started together. We finished together.
That's right.
That was good. So I have a shout out, and it is to a very special friend of ours and of the podcast, and her name is Tammy Trout. And Tammy is, in addition to being a former member of Team Allier, she's a Mickey Miler, and she has struggled with her running demons, as we all tend to do at one time or another. But she did her longest distance race. She finished the Tower of Terror 10 miler, and just super effort, and so proud of her medal, and we're proud of her. So Tammy, we know that it wasn't easy, and you did it. You really did it. And we couldn't be more happy for you.
Yeah, that was the most that was the to me that we took a lot of pictures that night, Michelle, and that one was the one that means the most to me, because I know that meant a lot to Tammy. So congratulations, Tammy.
Yeah. So, what are we going to talk about today?
I don't know. let's see. We just come back, of course, from the Tower of Terror race weekend, and we thought we'd do a review. And we had a long list of people, but we came up with, Michelle and I said, why don't we have, and we both came up with the same name.
Yes, I actually was thinking of this name, and you said it. I said, that's who I wanted to have on the show, because he's from day one, he's been a big supporter of the podcast. He's a Mickey Miler. He's ever present on social media.
Yeah, but
and a super nice guy, and works in a college.
Yes, but we couldn't get Jeff Galloway, so instead we got Christopher Smith. Christopher, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Mike and Michelle.
Before we start, why don't you tell us just a quick little bit about yourself as a runner? You live in New York, right?
Yeah, I live in upstate New York. Rochester is about 6 hours from New York City. And when I turned 40, I decided I wanted to set a goal of running a marathon through Disney. So I trained all of last year for the Dopey Challenge, running 5K, 10K, half marathons along the way. And I was so happy to be able to do that and accomplish that goal. So, of course, I signed up for Dopey Challenge again with a couple of other races, including the Tower of Terror, for this year. So that's a little bit about my background.
And Chris was one of the people who ran the marathon with me last year, this big group of people. Did you actually ride Expedition Everest? I'm sorry if I don't remember. I know you were there for the race, but you were in and out, and you were kind of joining us and not joining us.
Yeah, I was bouncing around. I love to, as you kind of mentioned, the social media thing. I like to stop at just about every character stop, and I sort of live tweet the pictures as I run. So I was dropping back, but running most of the race with you and with a whole bunch of other folks too, Eddie McCoy. And yeah, I was on that Expedition Everest ride, and I can't wait to do that again.
That's great. Great. That's good. Well, I'm just doing the dopey. I'm sorry, just doing the goofy. Just doing right. The goofy. So slacking off this year.
Right.
All right. So Chris was actually at the Tower of Terror. And we thought he'd be great to have come on and tell us his point of view of all the different parts of the weekend.
Chris, before we start, was this your first, or had you run the Tower of Terror 10-miler before?
I had not. No, I had such a great time at Dopey running, and that was really my first experience running with friends, because although I had done Wine and Dine the previous year, I really just ran that alone, and I had such a blast doing Dopey Challenge. I said, I got to sign up and do another Run Disney race with friends, and the next opportunity for me that I could work into my schedule was Tower of Terror. So that was my first Tower of Terror race.
Did you run with anybody?
I've ran with a few people along the way. Parts of it were by myself, but yeah, I ended up not purposefully, but just running into folks, Mickey Milers, along the way. It was great.
That's like with even at night with those bright shirts, we could see everybody. We could definitely
Absolutely.
See everybody. For me, it was, and for Mike and I, it was actually our first experience running an entire non-5K together, our longest distance running a Disney race together. So Mike was gracious enough to let me tag along, the impatient runner that I am. So yeah, it was good. So why don't we get into it? First, we're actually going to talk about something that was probably not applicable to a lot of people, but it was very special and meaningful to Mike and I, which was our first Mickey Miles dessert party. So Mike, do you want to talk about that a little bit?
The dessert party was at the Disney Hollywood Studios. It was the, I forget what they call that theater. Do you know what they call that theater?
I don't know where
Fantasmic is shown. And I want to say it's theater, I forget. Anyways.
Too bad we don't know anybody who has like a studio's website or something.
Yeah. so we, there were a lot of things going on that weekend, especially that night and two nights, and everybody was really tied up. So everyone had to make some choices, and we ended up having a smaller group than originally planned, but it worked out really well because Becky Menken and Annette Owens from MEI and Mouse Fan Travel were able to secure the patio that we wanted, and it was a patio that was right in the center, so we were able to watch Fantasmic straight on. We had just enough people so that everybody could stand and watch Fantasmic. And, you know, Michelle, I think I've been to about a half a dozen dessert parties in the MGM, Disney Hollywood Studios. That one was the most enjoyable.
Yeah, it was really fun. We really got a chance to talk to everybody. And we walked backstage to get to our dessert party. And the desserts were fabulous. So we're hoping to do it again. Maybe we'll announce an upcoming dessert party soon. But that we want to thank everybody who took the time to come. It was really, really fun. We enjoyed it. And big thank you to Becky and Annette from MEI Mouse Fan Travel. So let's get into the main event.
Which was, of course, the race. And before the race happens, we all had to pick up our bib. And so let's talk about the packet pickup. Chris, do you want to give us a slight review on how you found the packet pickup? Was there anything that you liked, that you didn't like, that you thought could be done better, that, you know, anything that comes to mind?
Sure. I mean, maybe my experience is a little different from yours because I was actually driving in the morning of the Tower of Terror 10-miler. So I was getting there the second day of the expo. I expected there to be bigger crowds. I got there about 9:30. So the 5K crowd was pretty much done. Kids races were going on. And I figured there'd be a bunch of people who were picking up their bibs. But when I arrived, there were no lines for really any of the letters of the alphabet or what have you when it came to picking up your bib. It was pretty deserted.
Well, that's good. And did you, we'll talk about the expo in a minute. So this is a smaller race. You know, it's not going to be the same experience necessarily in January, but we actually arrived right pretty much when it opened or right after it opened. And one of the things that we noticed right away, we drove in with a rental car, is that we were parking a lot closer than we were used to parking. So we zipped right in there. There were almost no lines at all. when we went to the bib pickup area, the lines were, it was probably 20 minutes in line because we were there right when it started. And some of the lines had nobody at all, and some of the lines had a lot of people. My line had a lot of people. But, you know, it didn't seem to be too, too crazy there. Mike, what about you?
Well, when you think about all the different events that are on the Run Disney calendar, you, like you said, Michelle, in January, you're lucky if you get a parking spot that doesn't take you a mile to walk to the HP Milk House or the HP House, whatever it's called. So with that, having said that, you would think that when you have a smaller race like maybe Expedition Everest or the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror, that would be an opportunity for a race director to try some things. And one of the things that I noticed, and you mentioned this, let me back up a little bit. There was 11,500 numbers that were given out, bib numbers. So when you went into the HP house to pick up your bib, there were booths and there were numbers that were divided somewhat evenly so that you would look to see what number range on whichever booth had your number and you would get in line. Now, here is where I think things should be experimented with. I was in my line for about 20 minutes, and the three lines to my left had no one in their lines. Now, there were numbers assigned to everyone, but it just seemed funny to me that there should have been a better way of taking care of the runners, because why can't all the volunteers have a book that has all the numbers and you just go into the shortest line? You can get in and out quicker. You can get to the expo quicker and spend your money. It just seemed really odd that they have never, ever tried doing that. And I just don't understand. And it's during a small race, and why not try it?
So, but if they had a book, if everybody had a book with all the numbers, couldn't somebody go into two different volunteers and say, hey, I'm going to here to pick up my number? There's no, if there were 30 books, and you went into line number one and then you went into line number 17, you could initial twice. That would be, you know, right now you're initialing once.
Thank you for asking that, Michelle. This is where technology comes into play.
Yeah, there could be iPads.
iPads, or if anybody's out there, Apple, you know, could be a sponsor, or anybody can be a sponsor and just have an iPad with a, you know, you use a Microsoft Access database and you're all set.
Well, I will mention that I have been to races, the Boston Marathon being one of them. I'm only mentioning because it's, you know, clearly a huge race with 26,000 people, where the numbers were like a series of several thousand numbers were all together, and there were lots of volunteers and lots of numbers, and you would just go up and say, I'm number 2673. And they would go right to that number. So I don't know. It doesn't sound. It sounds like maybe we need to do what Chris did and come a little bit later.
And that's one alternative. The other one is to say numbers such and such through such and such can pick up their numbers at this time. Mm. Numbers such and such and such and such.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
No, I don't know. But still,
yeah. All right.
I will say that the downside of coming when I did at 9:30 is because everything else was going on, the kids' races, and there were still, I think, 5K folks that were hanging around. I had to park in the sort of the grass auxiliary lot. They were parking, the regular lot was completely full. They weren't letting anybody park there. So I did have a much longer walk to the building than you. So you probably made up for that by waiting in line rather than the long walk that I had.
Interesting. Along the way outside, I did something I've never done, which is to buy a really cool gourmet cupcake. I don't know if you saw the cupcake van, but that was kind of neat.
It's
I think
the
that's
only
been
thing
there before.
She bought, folks.
I know. All right. So the next thing that was a little bit different about this race was instead of having the speaker series over across the street in the Jostin Center, it was actually where you pick up your numbers so that. The nice thing about this was that it was a little bit more laid back. There was more room for people to sit. They weren't in that upstairs cramped area that they usually are, or down on the expo floor where it's a little bit more difficult to hear. Chris, did you go to any of the speaker series?
I did not, actually. No, not this time. I went to quite a few at Marathon Weekend, though.
Okay. So we went to one with Tara Guidus, who's a friend of the show, and it was fabulous. And one of the things that I really liked about it was that she used a lot of the frequently asked questions from her talk about running at night and in nutrition. She used questions that she asked on the Mickey Milers team website. So she used our question, which was really cool. But she does a fabulous job. It was about a 30-minute presentation. And there were about, I don't know, 20 people in the audience, maybe. Not too many.
Very generous.
But I thought that was a shame because she's so interesting. And I think one of the problems was that people are picking up their numbers and then going across to the expo to get their T-shirts and to do shopping. And then to come back over to go downstairs in this area, I think the speakers really lost out.
Yeah, I felt bad for the speakers, because if you think about January or you think about any of the previous race weekends where you're walking around in the expo and you hear Rudy or Carissa say, oh, by the way, Jeff Galloway or Tara Guidus or John Hughes is going to be speaking, I wonder how many of those who are sitting in the audience are just like, I don't know what you'd call them, spur of the moment listeners, or just there because of that. And if you look at how they had it set up for the Tower of Terror, it's almost like, okay, I'm not going to get my number, my bib. I'm going to pick up my bib 30 minutes before Jeff's going to speak, or 30 minutes before Tara's going to speak. And I just felt badly for Rudy, who kept on trying to push people back to the HP Center, and it just wasn't working. So I'm hoping that this is the first and last time they do that.
And in truth, the reason that we ended up coming back to see this speech was we happened to run into Tara as she was headed toward that area. So so that's one of the reasons that we decided to go and support her. We at the expo, we did run into a new speaker whose name is Fitz Kohler. She is the founder of the Morning Mile, and hopefully we'll have her on the show. And she will be at the Wine and Dine, too. So she's a really interesting person. We didn't see her speak, but I chatted with her for about 20 minutes, and I'm sure that if people are going to Wine and Dine, they will not be disappointed. But I'd be curious to see if it's something that Disney is going to continue doing, to have it in that area. It's the area that in the past there's been some merchandise. And I don't know. I know that one of the things that Rudy told us is that Run Disney counts the number of people who are at the different events. So I'm wondering if it'll be, I don't know. I wonder what they'll do with that. Well, it seems a shame.
Yeah, and the thing was that this seemed, this is the ironic thing, is that this was a race weekend that had far fewer runners than you would see in January. Yet there seemed to be more chairs set up for the speaker series than you would have found if they had the speaker series up upstairs in the Johnston Center. So that was kind of funny.
Yeah, when I saw that, I was actually kind of excited, because I remember having gone to three or four different presentations during Marathon Weekend and being standing room only for all of them. I'm thinking, wow, that's great for the speakers, it's great for the spectators to have those many seats available. But as you said, there's just nobody really coming back over from the Johnston Center to those sessions there. I don't think that venue's as great as it is space-wise. It just isn't very convenient.
Yeah, because you don't just have to come back over. You have to come up the stairs from the expo, walk over, and then go back down. You know, and it sounds like nothing, but, you know, when you're doing a lot of walking from your car and you're trying to save your legs, it's just like, oh, do I really want to do that? So, all right, headed back over to the Johnston Center. The T-shirt pickup was pretty easy. The tech shirt this year was kind of gray and not kind of gray. It was gray with a big Tower of Terror, black Tower of Terror on it. It's glow in the dark as they've been in the past few years. And it's that nice new material that they have for the Run Disney shirts, which is kind of a thin material. And it's short sleeve. And then there was a merchandise area. Now, Chris, did you go through that? Did you buy any merchandise?
I did go through it. I did not buy anything. I was a little disappointed at the selection. And I understand even things like the Tower of Terror 10-miler magnets were sold out by early on Saturday, which I just didn't see. It didn't seem like they were ready for a whole lot of buyers.
Yeah, I think what happens, Chris, is that they were a little gun shy regarding how many pieces of the different merchandise items they can run, and they don't want to eat, you know, too much inventory. So I think that they are probably trying to figure out how much is just enough, or maybe just not quite enough, and then they can say, well, at least we don't have any on hand that we have to, you know, try to sell through some other channel. And usually that's it's one of the discount places on I-4.
So yeah, one thing that I notice is that there's a big difference between the people buying merchandise at this event versus in Disneyland, which is, you know, people were the races that I've been to there, people have been nutty and, you know, huge lines. Not to say that there wasn't a huge line here, but it was just the atmosphere, even at the beginning, was a lot more laid back. There were the I Did It shirts. There were some glasses and sweaty bands and magnets and things like that. But it just seemed more laid back to me. A lot of things were sort of purple and gray, and I don't know. I didn't buy. I have so many tech shirts. I just looked. I didn't buy for this one.
That's right, Michelle. You did not buy any tech shirts.
All right. Should we talk about the expo in general? Chris, what was your impression of this expo, having done January races?
Yeah, I had been expecting a very, very small expo, and I was surprised at how big it was. Maybe if you've been there in the past, you wouldn't see it the same way. But I was expecting a very, very small expo, but I thought there were a pretty good selection of things. As usual, as a man, I find that about 2/3 or even 75% of the stuff is geared more toward females.
Oh, interesting. So it's less, I never thought of it that way.
Yeah, that's right. I thought there was a pretty good spread of vendors with ample beer carts sprinkled throughout the floor too along the way.
Yeah, that was funny. I think regarding the gender way that everything was put together, I think that men are not as fashion conscious regarding races as women are, so I think that Disney has picked up on that. We don't care. If we look like slobs when we run, that's fine. But all the women are very, very conscious. They're very fashion conscious. And, you know, speaking for my co-host here, I mean, I really look forward to seeing what she's going to wear, because it always, you know, Michelle, you know, in all seriousness, a lot of our friends who run, I mean, everything is color coordinated, and, you know, that takes some time. But, you know, give me a pair of shorts that are comfortable. I'll wear the Mickey Milers shirt, and I'm good to go. But, you know, I'm not into coordinating everything. And I think that, you know, you got to give all the ladies credit for taking the time to look good, whereas the rest of us guys, you know, who cares?
Well, it's nice that you're not making broad sweeping generalizations, but you know, in terms of vendors, there were Fit to Run was there. They're selling Hokas now, I noticed. Sweaty Bands, Raw Threads was there. A lot of the same ones. Kind of interesting. AT&T, who's a new sponsor of Run Disney, was there. And I was kind of chatting with them, like, why are you here? And by the end of the expo, I had updated my data plan at the expo because it was free. It was completely free. They're offering something for the month of October. You double your data for free. So that was really funny. But there were the beer carts. Anything new that you guys hadn't noticed before? I think it's vendors that we probably have seen a lot of.
They all look familiar to me.
Yeah. So we got to run into Rudy. He was running around introducing different vendors. And our new thing is to go up to Rudy and say, hi, Jeff Galloway. But I was very, very happy with myself that I did not buy a sweaty band. I got out of the expo without buying anything until...
However, then there was Friday. What happens next? And what happened during the rest of the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror 10-miler weekend? Join Michelle, Christopher Smith, and myself in episode 2016 this Thursday, and we'll take you through the rest of the weekend. The Mickey Mouse Podcast has been brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own.
bringing you premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at mei-travel.com or mousefantravel.com. And by All-Star Vacation Homes, who are offering a last-minute Orlando vacation special. The special runs from September 22nd to December 19th, and you would get a fifth night free when you stay for four nights. That's right. Stay four nights, receive the fifth night free in an All-Star Disney Area vacation home or condo. To take advantage of this special, call 1-866-385-5384. And for more information, you can visit them at allstarvacationhomes.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com, and we'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.